Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, Luke 18, and Mark chapter 10. I have this real interesting one singular point I was going to give you, and it turned into quite an interesting study. Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 18. We're going to be studying tonight about that rich man that came to Jesus. I know you're familiar with the whole story, but the way Scripture is, you get into it and keep messing around, digging in there, studying, letting the Spirit of God show you some things, and you find things in there you didn't see the first time you came through. Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 18. And what we'll do, I'm not trying to wear you out with, you can throw a pen or a piece of paper or something in there. I'm not trying to wear you out with so many fingers in one place and still trying to write notes down, but there's some interesting things here, and we kind of need to look at all three of these. So if you had something marking each of these passages, it would make it a little bit easier for us to get through them. I think before we read in the text, why don't we go ahead and let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through this study tonight, and then we'll see what He asks for us. Blake, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. I was reading in Luke when I came across this passage yesterday and looking back over it again this morning before I did some more reading, this passage about this rich man that wanted to know what to do to have eternal life struck me again. Let's look in Matthew chapter 19. Let's read beginning with verse 16 so that everybody is familiar with what we're studying. And then we'll go right into the text and dig in and see what we're looking at here. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto him, or unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, there's a very interesting passage of Scripture here, and there are some things going on that we could talk about, we're not going to talk about, because we want to stay on this concept. We want to see why the young man turned Jesus down on his offer. That's one thing we want to see. We also want to learn from this text some things that Jesus Christ has said to his disciples that will be an encouragement to us in our work for the Lord. So if we can figure out why that young man turned down the Lord's offer, that's going to help us to understand the cost of discipleship. If we can be encouraged by some of the things the Lord said to His disciples, that will encourage us in the work that we're currently doing for the Lord. You know, I think as an introductory remark, when you come to the Lord, you're going to lose something. You come to the Lord, you lose something. Let me read it so that you don't have to hold yet a fourth place. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, listen, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. When you come to Jesus Christ, you lose something. And so when this young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He wasn't thinking about losing anything. He was thinking about doing something good with what he already had. The idea of losing something didn't cross his mind. And so the Lord Jesus Christ puts it right down on him. And when he does, the guy balks and leaves because he doesn't want to lose what he has to lose in order to get what he wants to have. This man would lose these things. Number one, he would lose his religion. Go back, look here in Matthew chapter 19 again. He says in verse 17, why callest thou me good? He just wants the young man to understand, if you recognize me as good as God, call me good. But if you don't recognize me as God, why are you calling me good? He says to him, there is none good but one, that is God. Watch it. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments. Period. The young man says in reply, which? That is very revealing. Because in the Old Testament, when God gave the commandments, He didn't give them the opportunity to choose which ones they wanted to keep and which ones they didn't want to keep. This young man comes to Jesus Christ and he says, okay, I'm supposed to keep the commandments in order to inherit eternal life. Which ones? Do you get it? He doesn't get it. He is looking at keeping the commandments the same way people look at keeping their religious doctrine. You see, in religion, you do the commandments that you want to do, but you don't do all the commandments. For instance, like Seventh-day Adventists, they still keep the Sabbath. But there's not a person alive who keeps all of the commandments. Jesus Christ is the only one who ever did. So what you do in a religion is you emphasize those commandments that you want to keep and you de-emphasize those commandments that you don't want to keep. And this guy was doing the same thing because he's a religious man. And when he calls Jesus good, he's thinking in terms of the religious sense, like, I'm good and I just want you to know that I think you're good. And all I want to know is what good thing I need to do in order to inherit eternal life. You see the religious mentality in his conversation? I remember, I was raised Catholic. Well, the glaring commandment we didn't keep was the second commandment. You're not to make any graven image of anything in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. And you're not to bow down. And every time we go to church, we came to a church full of images and everybody bowed down. And so if you look at the list of the Ten Commandments that are in that church, number two is gone. You see that? Which ones? That's a religious thing. This man would lose his religion, which he has been using to justify himself. You know, if he were keeping the commandments, they would have been the schoolmaster to lead him, Jesus Christ. He wasn't. He was justifying himself by the commandments. Because when Jesus goes through the list, look, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. All right, that's the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the, what is it, the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. That's the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of them. I'm trying to remember all the numbers. Honor thy father and thy mother. What's that? Number five, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the summary. What did he leave out? The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. What did he leave out? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what this guy did? He was a rich man that was covetous, who had money as a god before the Lord. So the Lord named the ones that he had been using to justify himself to see how he would react to it. And the guy says in verse 20, all these have I kept from my youth up. I must be good. You know what the Lord told him to do? He told that man in verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor. Let me tell you something. If that man had done what Jesus told him to do, he would have fulfilled the tenth and he would have fulfilled the first. So the Lord just got in where the man was having a problem in his heart. You can't serve two masters. You'll either love the one, mammon, and hate the other, God, which is what happened to this guy, or you will hold one and despise the other. That guy decided to hold on to his wealth and he despised those two laws. The Lord said if you get rid of that, you're going to lose your religion, but you're going to have eternal life. You know, many of us in this room had to lose our religion in order to get eternal life. This man would have also lost his wealth, obviously. In verse 21, the Lord said, go and sell that thou hast. And you know what his condition was? He didn't just have a little bit. The Bible says in verse 22, when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful for what? He had great possessions. Look in Luke chapter 18, verse 23. So you get a real picture here. Luke chapter 18, verse 23. Don't lose your place in Matthew. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was what kind of rich? Very rich. He was very rich. He would have lost his wealth. And he didn't want to part with his wealth. However he got it, whether he got it by his business acumen or whether he got it by inheritance, he had it and he didn't want to let it go. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ was not asking this man to do anything that he hadn't already done himself. How many of you know what 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He didn't ask that young man to do anything he hadn't done himself. Jesus Christ, listen, could not have fulfilled the will of God for us if he had held on to his wealth. He gave it up, all that he had in heaven, so he could come down here and give us eternal life by his death. So he's just asking this young man to do the very same thing that he had done. This man would have lost his religion. He would have lost his wealth. I'll tell you something else he would have lost. He would have lost his status. He was a rich man, and the Lord said to him in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 19, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Well, if you're a rich man and you take all the wealth that you have and you give it to the poor people, now the poor people are the ones that are rich and you're the poor guy. He's going to lose, not only is he going to lose his wealth, he's going to lose his status. Give to the poor. He would become what they are. And I'll tell you something, my understanding of rich people, no rich man wants to become a poor man. That's not what he has it for. And yet Jesus did. Do you remember that there was a disciple who came to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm going to tell you what, that's a hobo type poor. Right? He's a vagabond. He's a sojourner. Why? We sing a song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Yeah, but boy, you can hear a lot of stuff we own clanking around with us while we're passing through. Jesus didn't have any of that. He had no status. Matter of fact, when they thought of him being the Son of God and they see the miracles, they said, this can't be the Son of God. This guy's got to be a devil. For one thing, I mean, he lives outdoors sometimes on Mount of Olives or hangs out with other people who are his disciples because he doesn't even have his own house. This man would have lost his religion. He would have lost his wealth. He would have lost his status. I'll tell you something else he would have lost. He would have lost his ease. In verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, right? Thou should have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Well, in Mark chapter 10, if you've got that one handy, in verse 21, when the Lord told him what to do, now these verses are not contradictory, they're supplemental. You know, when you put them all together, you get the whole thing that Jesus told him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He didn't despise this young man for being wealthy. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, watch it, and come, whoops, take up the cross, and follow me. Well, in our text in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 20, and also in verse 22, what kind of man was this? He was a young man. And the glory of young men is their strength. You take a young man and you make him have a cross, and guess what? He loses his ease. When you're rich and you're young, it's easy. You want a Porsche, you go to the dealership and buy a Porsche, pay cash. All of a sudden you got no money and you got to take up a cross. It's not easy anymore. But may I tell you something? He wasn't asking this young man to do anything that he hadn't done or wasn't going to do. Why? How old was Jesus Christ when he died? 33 and a half years old. As far as we're concerned, that's pretty young. Some of you young guys may think, man, it's going to be a long time until I get to be 33. Let me tell you something. When you hit 33 and start looking back, time goes real fast. So he's going to lose his ease. And you know something? People like this who are used to buying whatever they want, going to come right in. He slides in and he comes running to him and kneels down. This guy, you know, he's used to, let's make it happen. He comes in there, he puts himself in a position of humility. Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? It's kind of like, just tell me now and I'll take care of it. And we got this done, along with these commandments I've been keeping all my life. And it's not that easy. When you get saved, and I get saved, and you start that discipleship, it becomes a life of Christianity. And he was just letting the man know ahead of time, there's a cross with this deal. He would have lost that ease. I'll tell you something else he would have lost. He would have lost his rule. He says here in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Now wait a minute. Did you realize that this man, according to Luke 18, 18, was a ruler? Look in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, same guy. Luke 18, 18, this man was a ruler. He was young, he was very rich, and he was a ruler. Luke 18, 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You read down the rest of the passage, it's exactly the same guy. And now all of a sudden he says, no, 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 you don't get to call the shots anymore. Now you got to start following me. Whoa, wait a minute. Now he's going to lose his rule. You know, and when you got a young man that's got plenty of money to have what he wants and buy what he wants and tell everybody else what to do, he's going to have a real hard time settling down following somebody else's orders. But do you know he wasn't following orders up to this point anyway? Because he says to him, keep the commandments. And he says, which? He was used to being in charge, and now he's going to have to follow orders. And before you get saved, you're used to calling the shots in your own life, and after you get saved, now Jesus is in charge. Somebody asked me one time, after I explained the simplicity of salvation, he said, that's all fine and well, but what's the catch? I said, the catch is, after he saves you, he wants the reins. He wants to be the boss. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ wasn't asking this man to do anything that he hadn't already done himself. Jesus Christ lost his ease. And Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, Jesus Christ lost his rule. When he came down here, you already know the passage well, but I want to read it to you. When he came down here, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. May I tell you something? He's the creator of the universe. It all goes on his time clock. He made it, he organized it, and he tells it what to do. Yet he made himself a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He wasn't asking this man to do anything he hadn't already done himself. But this man was going to lose his rule. Now that's a lot to give up. You lose your religion, you lose your wealth, you lose your status, lose your ease, lose your rule. What for? He said, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, wasn't that his question? All right, so at this point, at this status, if he loses all those things, is he not going to lose all those things at some point in the future anyway? Didn't the Bible say, naked you came into the world, naked you go? You came in here with nothing, you leave with nothing? So he's just asking him to give up some of this a little ahead of schedule, but is it without return? Is he just saying, oh, you want to have eternal life? Just lose, or was there something to gain? Well, we know why he didn't do it, because we see what he wasn't willing to give those things up, even though he was going to lose them at some point in the future. But let me say something. He would have received something in return. And tonight I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about what he would have received in return, because you lost something to come to the place where you are today, and God's got a little something for you in return too. And I pray that it encourages. First of all, and this you know what he would have given him in return? Eternal life. And all this guy had up to this point was temporal life. He says to him in verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure where? In heaven. In verse 29 of Matthew chapter 19, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit what kind of life? Everlasting life. May I tell you something? You that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are currently in possession of everlasting life. You don't have to wait till you die to get it. You got it. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You are living everlasting life now. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And sometimes Christians look at what they've lost. Man, what you got in return is so much better if all he gave you was eternal life. But I'm going to tell you something. This guy came to the Lord and he said, I've done all these things for my youth. Watch. He asked this one question in verse 20 at the end. What lack I yet? He knew he was missing something. I had a guy come to my office one time and we were talking about the Lord and he says, you know what? I'm just empty. There's still something missing. And I said, well, what's missing is the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he had him and he had the eternal life that comes with Jesus Christ, he looked at me and smiled and said, there ain't nothing missing anymore. The gap has been filled. So he would have received in return eternal life, but that's not all. He would have received, listen, eternal wealth. In Matthew 19:21, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure. He didn't say life. Treasure. You know one thing about a young men that have a lot of money? They generally can't think a long way down the road. Generally, young men that start making a big salary out of college don't start their IRAs. I mean, generally speaking. Why? Because, woohoo, we got some money now. We'll just start thinking about that IRA when we get closer to retirement. This guy missed something very important that the Lord Jesus Christ said, give it to me now, I'll give it back to you later. You give it to me now, I'll make sure you got it in eternity. Now, men that are wise investors, they are interested in a portfolio that what was it? It was like Will Rogers said, he said, don't tell me about the return on my investment. Tell me about the return of my investment. I want to know that it's going to be there when I'm done. In 2008, there were a lot of people that were sure concerned about the return of their investment because the return on their investment was about a 50% loss. There's a verse of scripture. How many of y'all read a proverb a day? Okay. I do too. I love to read the Proverbs. You know, the funny thing is, this time next month when you read Proverbs 29, you're not going to be where you are today, and you're going to see things in it you didn't see today. And that's what's so fun about it. But in Proverbs 19:17, you can just take the note. I'm going to save you turning. He said this, listen, he that hath pity on the poor, can you, anybody remember the proverb? He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again. Remember that? He says, give it to the poor, and I'll pay you again. Treasure in heaven. He missed that. Why? He wanted it now. You can't buy a Porsche with treasure in heaven. But didn't he say where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? If the guy really loved God, he wouldn't have had any trouble putting that over there at all. Listen, Jesus, in recounting these commandments in one passage, says, love thy neighbor as thyself. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. If he'd really loved the Lord God, he'd have stuck that money over there and had that treasure in heaven. Eternal wealth. Do you know the Bible tells you, listen, that you're going to be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know that? Now, how much did Jesus Christ inherit? Well, if I understand correctly, I think he inherited the universe. Because of his kingdom and power, there will be no end. And he says, I don't know, maybe one of you are going to get Mars. I don't. I'll be lucky to get Ed Roy. No. Sweeney Switch. Do you remember the parable of the 10 pounds? So the Lord gave, the Lord that was before he left, gave each of his servants a pound. The guy that really made a good return on his, how many pounds did he get? Help me out. He got 10 pounds. Yeah, the talent he got 5, but in the pounds he got 10 pounds. All right, and the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little, and have thou authority over 10 cities. That's a rule. That's a reign, right? Okay. Just remember that. Then he says, another guy came and he said, thy pound got me 5 pounds. Got you 5 pounds. He said, that's good. And he says to him, have thou authority over 5 cities. Then the other guy came and he said, well, I took it out and hid it in a napkin. But that's because that's your fault. You're an austere man. And he goes, well, you said I'm an austere man. Then you know I'm looking for a return. Why didn't you put my money in the bank? Thou wicked servant. Take the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now, wait a minute. Those weren't his 10 pounds. Those were the Lord's pounds. But now you know, not only does he have rule over 10 cities, he gets to keep the pounds. Plus, he gets the pound of the guy that was sloughing off. Do you see what you're hearing? You're hearing about eternal wealth. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'm going to tell you something. This Bible says, you came in here with nothing, you're leaving with nothing, but he said, if you will do what I say about giving that stuff away, it'll be there for you when you get on the other side. Lay not up for yourself on earth treasures, lay not up for yourselves, treasures on earth, lay up for yourself treasures in heavens, for where your heart is, there where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, that ought to be a real comfort to you. If you've lost some things for Jesus' sake of your wealth, he said it'll be there for you on the other side. I hope you're encouraged about that. You have eternal life. You have eternal wealth. And look at this. Matthew chapter 19, in verse 29, in reply to Peter's question, we've forsaken all, the Lord said, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father, some of you have done this. Because your family turned against you when you trusted the Lord. Or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, watch it, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. Please look with me at the same passage in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, you will find this same passage in verses 29 and 30. Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 and 30, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold when When? Now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers, children and lands, qualifier, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Luke says it this way, just so you'll know, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, everlasting life. Look, I raised up with 6 siblings, and for the most part, you probably already know, they tolerate this, but they're not like where you are today on this thing with Jesus Christ. I think some of my brothers and sisters are saved, but you don't see them hanging around here, do you? But may I tell you something? Stand up. This is my brother. My brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother, my sister, my sister, my sister, my sister, my brother, my sister, my sister, my sister, my father, my mother. They're getting on up there now. 100-fold. You know how many of you that are in here on Sunday morning? 200 of you. Manifold more in this present time. Man, am I a boy, am I a rich man with a good family. Blake, I agree with you. We got a good family. I thank God for this church. Amen. I'm telling you what, you lost something. Your brother for whom we pray doesn't sit next to you here, but boy, did you get some brothers who don't mind sitting with you and praying for you and loving you. We got something in return. I am telling you, I think, you don't mind if I tell a little story on your birthday? Nah, you don't mind. We chased Joe down. Brian and I had to take Brian because Joe's a little bigger than I am and I need somebody with some beef to intimidate him. We went over there to see him on several occasions. And he'll tell you, he said, yeah, well, I was trying to hide from the preacher. I was saying, oh, no, not them again. But we stayed with it. And when we had that missions conference over here and Brother Rose spoke that night, he told me, he says, what he spoke, that's my testimony. And the next night, Rick Bivin preached and preached the gospel in that message. And Brother Rose went over there to Joe and he says, do you want to talk to me about the Lord? And he said, yeah. They went back in my office. Brian went in there. And that night, Joe received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And when he got saved, he came out of there looking for me. And his eyes, I know they were watered up a little bit because he was happy. And he looked at me and he said 2 things. He said, I got a brand new daddy. And then he looked at me and he said, and I got a brand new brother. Brothers. And I thank God for each of you, and for those things that God has given us. Listen, we are wealthy beyond any compare. You get 100-fold now. With persecution? Yeah. Yeah. Because the world doesn't like what you have, and they would like to have what you have, but they want it easy. They want it without the cross. And you can't get it without the cross. You can't get it without Jesus Christ. I wonder how much family this rich ruler really had. Being in the banking business, I had the opportunity to be around some rich folks. You know what happens with them? Their families break up. They fight over the money, particularly when it becomes an inheritance. He didn't have much, but he could have had one of the best families on earth if he had gone for this. Did you read about Paul the Apostle, you know, in the New Testament? He was killing all those guys until he got saved, or causing them to blaspheme, or causing them to be imprisoned, or causing them giving consent to their death. But you notice how many people he mentions by name in his letters that are fellow laborers with him in the ministry, men and women, brothers and sisters? 100-fold now in this present time. With persecution, did Paul have a little persecution? Yeah, but the Bible says if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And that's the last thing I want to say. This was a ruler, and he said, I want you to give it up. And he would have lost his rule, but may I tell you something? You lose that rule, and what do you get? You get an eternal rule. You have a rule over a little bit down here. The Lord said, you've been faithful over a little. Now I'm going to give you authority over something big. That guy would have lost his rule. But look in Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 and 28. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, for we forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have therefore? He wasn't saying, what lack I yet, like the other guy. He said, what'd we get? Not what do I lack, what do I get? It's a different question when you're on the right side of this thing. Jesus said, verily I say to thee that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's when Jesus comes back, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What likelihood was there that any of these fishermen were going to be sitting on a throne ruling over those 12 tribes? None, till they took up with Jesus Christ. They gave up so little by comparison to how much they get in return. They're going to be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, and nobody can take that away from them. Do you understand that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you sacrifice for Him in these capacities that we're talking about tonight, the Bible says if you suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. The Bible says in Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. May I tell you something? It may be hard for you to get up every Sunday ready for your Sunday school lesson and go in and teach that little tribe that you have there that you call a class. Or whatever it is that you're come in and do the cleaning and all that stuff that you do. But you gave up something in order to have that opportunity. You lost your ease, and God says, I'm going to give something back to you when this thing is done. These guys get to reign over the 12 thrones, on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know what it is that the Lord will reward you in joint heirship, but He says the 1 pound got 10 pounds. He has authority over 10 cities. Maybe you'll get Petronilla. I don't know. But there's something in it. You lose something to get that salvation. But let me tell you something. It's worth a whole lot more than what you think you have. It's 100-fold. It's manifold more. Now and in the time to come. Eternal life. May God bless you for your sacrifice on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't let you down. Father, thank you tonight for encouraging us in this, helping us to get a better understanding of what this man thought he was losing and what the disciples gained that he missed. Help us understand, Father, that when we deal with souls, there are a lot of people like this young ruler that think it's all a loss and not a gain. Help us to be like Jesus. He loved this man. And Lord, for those of us who think it's all a fight, may we be reminded that on the other side, there's a whole lot more awaiting than what we can even imagine. Paul said it was so good, it's not even lawful for me to talk about it. And I pray God will be encouraged by these words tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.